Okay, we're in the Gemara Sota Daf Zayin Amud Aleph on the second Mishnah. Now that we've determined that either the husband has to take the wife with two witnesses to be able to testify in case something wrong happened and be able to dissuade them from sinning, now we're going to come now to Yerushalayim. And where did they take this woman? So the Mishnah says, Hayumalin Osa Lebezdin Hagodol Shibrushalayim. They would bring her up to the high court in Yerushalayim. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, we know in Eretz Yisrael, especially in Yerushalayim, we'll see in a minute, there were three courts in Yerushalayim by the Beis HaMikdash. This one is the Sanhedrin. That was the one of 71. Imagine, it's like Lahavdol taking it right to the Supreme Court of the United States or Canada. Right away, that even this little old drunk man and this woman somewhere in a small shtetl, you go right to the Supreme Court. Okay, now the Supreme Court convened in a place called the Lishkas Hagozis, that was the chamber of hewn stones, was a room built into the wall of the Beis Hamikdash courtyard. So she went right to the Beis Hamikdash courtyard. There was a room off of the courtyard where the Sanhedrin convened. So that's where they would bring her. And as opposed to, there were other courts very close to that of 23. Didn't even bring her there.
But not in the same place. There were different areas.
The other 23 were a little bit different spots. Yeah. They went to the top court. And what would they do? First, they would intimidate her so that she should not drink. She should admit her guilt. So, and we'll see in the Gemara is going to discuss what the intimidation was. They want her to admit her confession so she won't have to drink the water. Now, what's so important? You'll see the procedure. Part of the procedure is you write on parchment the parsha of Sota from the Torah that has Hashem's name, and then you scratch out God's name. So we don't want that to happen. So intimidate her so she should confess. Just like Kederach Shema'aimim al Eidei Nefashos. Just like when two witnesses come to testify in a capital crime, and if their testimony is accepted, the person will be killed. They intimidate them as well and say, you better be sure what you're saying and not lying, because killing a person is a terrible thing, blah, 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 blah. And also what they would say as well to try to convince her, va'omrla, and they would say, or va'omrimla, they would say, listen, Biti, our daughter, Harbe Yayin Oise, wine makes a lot of things happen, causes people to do things they shouldn't normally do. Harbe Schok Osa, levity, causes a lot of impropriety. Harbe Yaldus Osa, childishness, she could have been a young girl, or acting immature, causes impropriety. Harbe Shchenim Haroim Osa, you could have bad neighbors who cause impropriety. In other words, I mean, your neighbor could say, well, if I had such a husband, I wouldn't put up with that. You go teach him a lesson and blah, 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 blah. Right? So why are they mentioning these four possibilities? To impress upon the sota that the husband's suspicion isn't so far-fetched. So denying the guilt will only accomplish she'll suffer a very bad death. In other words, listen, we can understand why you could have done this. Therefore, we suggest, or we really want you to, so asi lishmo hagadol, act for the name of Hashem's great name, shenichta v'ktusha, that's going to be written in holiness, and we're going to have to scratch it out. So in the name of that, please admit your guilt if you are guilty, and that's what it says. So yimcha alamayim, we should not have to scratch out those parchment of the words of Hashem that will go into the water. The Amar lefanela, and they also say to her, dvarim she'enu kidei l'shamam, words that she is not deserving to hear, which the Gemara will have to explain what that means. What does it mean, words she's not deserving to hear? The Gemara will discuss it. Now, he v'chol mishpachas beis aviha, neither she nor all her father's family. In other words, she shouldn't hear it, and she and her family shouldn't hear it, her father's family. They're going to tell her things that people shouldn't hear. What is it that they're telling us? So we'll let the cat out of the bag a little bit. They tell us stories about righteous biblical figures like Yehuda and Reuven who sinned and were not ashamed to confess their misdeeds. So they're saying, listen, don't worry, greater people than you made mistakes. And they admitted their mistakes, so you should be able to admit your mistakes too. Similarly, although she's unworthy of being likened to such people. In other words, Reuven, Yehuda, these were the great tzaddikim that the world stood on, right? So I say, yeah, you know, and you're just like them, so you should admit like them. So that's what, it's not worthy to even put her into that league, as it were. Also the family members, because guess what? If she's acting immorally, then, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Her parents can't be the greatest role model citizens in the world. So therefore, they tell her things she shouldn't really be worthy to hear. So now, im amrat mani. So after all that, she admits. She says, okay, I was defiled. So what do we do next? Remember, she has a ksuva, right? She has a ksuva when she got married. So at that point, shoveres ksuvasa. That's not a ksuva, rather. There's a receipt. She writes a receipt for her ksuva, the yotzen goes out. In other words, she writes, I hereby declare that I'm not deserving of my ksuva, and the husband holds on to the receipt. So if ever, you know, years can pass, 25 years can pass, and the husband dies, and then she could turn around and say, oh, I'm a poor widow, you know, the ksuva says she has to support me. People sometimes have short memories. That's what politicians, the Democrats, are really hoping for. They have short memories. No matter how bad you do something, there'll be a lot of things that are going to happen in between, and people will forget. So maybe we can forget what she did, and she'll have her original ksuva, and she now we got this receipt. Now, the obvious question is, why don't we just rip up her ksuva? Okay, so we'll have to see. The Gemara is going to discuss that.
Because if the husband dies with the receipt, then nobody's
going to... Well, have to give it over to his children, right? Remember, though, although she admits, what we do not do, we do not execute her for her admission. Because you never can punish a person through their own admission unless it's a return of financial money. Other than that, person walks into a court and says, I want you to know, it's Michal Shabbos, please kill me, you know. We don't accept his testimony. So the fact, what did we have? We had circumstantial evidence, yes, but it's not enough, even with the circumstances, if there'd be, and even one witness couldn't kill her. You'd have to have two witnesses that would cause her, and she was warned to be killed, so therefore she doesn't get that punishment. So all we could do is say you're not entitled to your ksuva, and she has to write a receipt. Why we don't rip up the ksuva, we'll discuss in the Gemara. So it's interesting, the word of the Gemara, kesubasa, also means a receipt. So that's why you can get confused. But it means, let's do that again. Shoveres is a receipt, ksuva, so she writes. She writes a ksuva, the yotzes, and she leaves. Now, that's if she says she was guilty. Anyone says, no, I'm telling you, I'm innocent. I'm really, honest to God, innocent. So now we try again to wear her down emotionally so that she will still confess, so we won't have to write the thing down yet as well.
Wait a second. Is the objective here to avoid writing and scratching out God's name, or...
The objective here is to...
For her to maintain innocence, if she really is innocent. She could just say, you know what? Fine, so much pressure on me.
Right. So the objective is to come to the truth.
There's two things.
Let's put it this way.
She's intimidated. She'll just say, sure.
If a woman is truly innocent, if a woman is truly innocent, she will maintain her innocence, and the waters will ultimately show her innocence. Right? This is not like a court where it's public opinion is going to decide if you're innocent. It's the real deal. So if she's really, really innocent, she will not confess. Because why should she confess? She's got too much to lose. She's losing the ksuva. Her name is terrible. She'll never get a shidduch afterwards. It's the worst thing. But here's the thing. This is how strong the Yetzer Hara is, though. Even if a person's guilty, they won't admit they're guilty. So that's the point. If she's guilty, we're doing what we can so she should confess and, number one, not need to die. We don't want the lady to die. And number two, we don't want to erase Hashem's name. If she's lying, like, tell the truth now. We don't want to get it to the point where she has to get killed for this. But if a woman is really honest and she didn't do it, Why in the world would she, even with intimidation, she would suffer more afterwards?
How many people give false confessions under intimidation?
You know, there's different intimidation. You know, you go to ISIS, they tell you, they go to the Nazis, we're going to kill you if you don't do it. No one's killing her over here. They're saying, listen, we just, they go like this. They say, listen, lady, if you're guilty, fess up. There's lots of reasons why you can be guilty. And, you know, that's okay to confess. And you know what? We don't want to mess up the waters. We don't want to mess up the whole thing. You know, just if you're really guilty, admit it. And they push her. Again, a person will only be intimidated if they're lying. Intimidation is supposed to work for liars. We don't turn her by her hand and choke her and almost kill her and what do you call it? Torture her till they're not torturing her. They don't lay a hand that well. They don't torture her, but they are very strongly verbalizing that if you are guilty, you better admit it. That's all. It's not the kind of thing like, you know, the police put the guy in a secluded room. They don't give him to eat for 48 hours. The guy's delirious. They put the big light on him. That's torture. They're not torturing her. They are just intimidating her only a guilty person will feel intimidated. The honest person at the end, if they called her BT, our daughter, you know, your idea of intimidation is because you're thinking of, you know, intimidation, the police.
And easily say, you know what?
It's not worth. No. No.
Maybe she doesn't have enough faith that the waters really do work. And why should I take the chance?
The waters will not kill her. If anything, it's the opposite. If she's guilty, she'll think, how could the waters make my stomach bust? That's crazy. It's a narishkeit. Let's put it, if you had to look at it two ways, it's just regular water. Now you're expecting a miracle to happen. What's more likely for a person not to believe? The guilty person to not believe that the waters will kill them, or the innocent person thinking the water will kill them? You tell me what's more likely for the person to fool themselves. But you won't die. It's just water. It's just, if you're innocent, you won't die. The natural state of water is it doesn't kill you. So the assumption, if anything, that's the whole point. The guilty person thinks, what could the water do? It's just water. You think, really, water's going to go and I'm going to explode? That's what they're more concerned about. Persons who's innocent, remember, if she hasn't had kids, you're not a woman, so this is where it's hard for you to get. Let's say they didn't have kids for 10 years. That could be a big stress on a marriage, no? It should never happen to anybody. If you don't have kids, you know, a lot of times you get divorced over the stress. Could be they're stressed. The husband yells at her, gets upset. She says, you know what? I'm going to go with this other guy and show him. You know, but now if she's really innocent, she'll have children. If really a woman wants more, especially in those days, a woman wants more than anything else to have children. Or to have children without labor pains. You understand what it tends to benefit if she's telling, she'll be exonerated. What is everybody talking about her now? Right? They're saying, Mrs. Schwartz, and all of a sudden her friends aren't talking to her anymore, this and that, all these things. And if she admits it, it'll be 10 times worse. Then she's guilty. So she much more gains by holding on if it's true. If it's true, they do not want her to admit it if it's true that she was faithful. They do not want her to lie. But if she's lying, they're going to try to make her very uncomfortable to stick to that story. So anyway, so if she still says she is a Tahora, so still they're suspicious she might be lying because all it was a warning. So now the next step, you try to wear her down a little bit. Malina love, we raise her up, Lishar HaMizrach, to the eastern gate, which is Shal Pesach Shar Nicanor, which is directly opposite. There's a number of gates. That's opposite the Nicanor gate. Okay, the temple, and a little bit of geography. The Temple Mount was surrounded by a wall that had several openings. One of these was situated directly opposite the Nicanor gate, which was the eastern entrance to the main temple courtyard. Hence, people entering the temple would first pass through the eastern gate to the Temple Mount, then walk up further until they reached the Ezra's Nashim, the women's courtyard, pass through the courtyard to the Nicanor gate, and then enter through the Nicanor gate to the Ezra's Yisrael Israelite courtyard, which was located in the temple proper. So that's the Nicanor gate was between the women's section and the main section. Who's Nicanor? Nicanor was a great man who brought beautiful copper doors from Alexandria, Egypt, for the temple gate that was after his name for him. The Gemara relates that miracles happened to him, etc., etc. So she's brought, again, directly opposite the Nicanor gate. Shisham Mashkina Sodas. That's the place where she will eventually drink the water if she still hangs on to her story. So therefore, she appeared to the Sanhedrin. First she went to the Sanhedrin. Now she's taken down to the eastern gate. And from there she goes back up to the Nicanor gate. So she's going back and forth over here. Okay? Now what else did they do at this Nicanor gate? Besides the Sota would drink. Matarnes Ayoletus, a woman who gave birth, who had to bring a korban to become tar, so she would bring her korban over there. And also Matarnes and Mitzoros, and we purify a Mitzora, also would go over there. So she's now at this Nicanor gate, and she's had a walk around a bit, so she's been a little, gets a little bit tired, as it were. Again, the honest person will stick to her story, but the liar hopefully starts to get wore down. Now she becomes shamed and embarrassed. And this is regardless if she's innocent or not. Let's put it this way. Even if she's innocent, she isn't the greatest tzaddikas for not listening to her husband and going into seclusion. So what happens now? We're still in the Mishnahs. All the Mishnah. I haven't even gotten to the Gemara yet. The Kohen Oches Bugadeh. And the Kohen grabs a hold of her clothing. Let's say she has a dress or whatever. He grabs a hold of her clothing. And now, Im Nikru Nikru. If they're torn, they're torn. In other words, the Kohen takes hold of the neckline of the in the blouse in an angry and demeaning manner, okay? And he doesn't have to be so careful if he rips her garment. Like, he grabs them and pulls. If they tear, they tear. The im nifru nifru, if they're shredded, they're shredded. That means it's a greater level of tearing. And this can even happen. Now, he's not purposeful, but you know, he grabs her like says, come here, like that. So, it depends on the material of the clothing. It could rip. And how far can it rip? Achu Megalas Liba, until it rips them over, until it uncovers her heart, her bosoms. Okay, and there's a whole, it learns from a pasuk, and look what it says. The Gemara will say that the intent was to degrade the Sota publicly in order to discourage other married women from putting themselves in compromising positions as this woman had done. Even if the waters will prove she's innocent, she still was immodest. And again, in those days, that would be a great embarrassment to her. So, yeah, even if she's innocent, she's going to have to go through that degraded process. Okay? And more than that.
How is that fair for someone who's innocent?
Because she wasn't supposed to go into seclusion with a man.
That's already an approval.
That's
but publicly humiliating her because she wanted.
Yeah, so guess what? Guess what? If you know.
Well, she won't do it again. She
should have thought of that before she went into seclusion this man. You should. And what do you think? When they warn her,
not that innocent. Okay, seclusion.
Let me.
She's innocent.
Okay.
She went to seclusion for that.
Shelley, you'd be a great defense attorney, but this is not going to work. Let me explain. The husband first says to her, there's two witnesses, dear. I'm sick and tired of you and Mr. Schwartz being so friendly with each other. I am telling you, I do not want you to go into seclusion with him. And let me inform you, dear lady, that if you go into seclusion, and there'll be witnesses, you will have to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to tell you what the procedure is you're going to have to go through. And you're going to have to be exposed and humiliated. And if you're going to go private with that man, you got coming to you. Now think about it before you go and do that. Now, I don't know any wife, even if she didn't do anything, that's not an innocent woman for going to be alone with another man, even if she did nothing. Okay? This is not, you know, the secular liberal world where, you know, you can see but you can't touch. And that eventually became, you can see and touch and do vustivils. No, I'm saying, you know, if the husband said, do not, I'm going to show you. You think you're the boss in this house? I'm going to bedafka do it. So, you know what? That's not the way a Jewish woman's supposed to behave. So she knew in advance what she's walking into. That's why you needed two witnesses. You need two witnesses to say, this is what's going to happen. Believe me, the husband knows how to warn the wife. He doesn't want her hanging around this guy. So she is guilty of being a disobedient wife and acting immorally for a woman to lahachas. We're not talking it just so happens. She didn't realize it was Yichud. The husband's like, don't want you to be in seclusion with this man. And the wife says, I don't care. I'm going to do something that looks, that is reprehensible. To, I mean, even if you're just playing checkers with the guy. You just don't do that when the husband said not. And that, and you're not such an innocent person. Now, there's different levels of guilt. She's guilty of behaving as a not proper woman. The question is she guilty also of committing an act of adultery? So there's different levels. If she's committed an act of adultery, then she, if she admits, she should be divorced. And if she didn't, her stomach should bust. But if she's only guilty of being an improper behaved woman, so she gets improperly treated. You know, I'll put it in real gross terms. You acted like a slut, you're treated like a slut. And that's what it is. I mean, if you told your wife, I don't want to hang around this guy, and don't go into the room, go to the private room, and say, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway. Well, what kind of wife is that?
Yep. She just drew in the waters, they're not going to go there. And then she dies or she doesn't die.
No, because it could be if she's guilty, she may now confess. That's what's happening. But you have to realize, any woman doing this will go through a humiliating process. That's it. Even if you're innocent, you have to go through. You know, she needs to do a little atonement. Even if she's innocent, just drinking the water and all is fine. There has to be a certain, there was a certain, I don't know what the right word, disrespectful behavior, dishonorable behavior she did. There's got to be something wrong with a woman's mitos who does such a thing. And they're trying to, there has to be a little kapara in terms of she has to be shamed to a certain degree for what she has done. And this is part of the process. Even if she's innocent, you have to go through certain degradation. And hopefully, if people know this, she's going to say, you know, it's not worth it. I'm not going to hang around this guy.
Good example.
If you know, you know, if you know what's heading down the line, why in the world would she do it? Now you have to ask yourself, Shelley, why would such a woman do this? Why? Tell me why she would do it if she knows this all happened.
The waters don't work, correct?
Well, if the husband's unfaithful, yeah.
The waters don't work.
Yeah.
So why should she be publicly humiliated? Supposing she knows he was fooling around, so she decides...
So she should ask for a divorce.
Well,
she should ask for a divorce.
He says no.
Well, you know what? Because he did something wrong does not justify her doing things wrong. Shelley, it's like I'm talking to a liberal here.
No.
It's like momish, you know? It's like... But why? You're not supposed to go into seclusion, period. Two wrongs do not make a right. Yes, the husband's wrong. He shouldn't have done it. That's right. First of all, a man's allowed to have more than one wife. A. B. What? So it's wrong. So there's nus, and if there's witnesses, he'll be lashed.
That's right.
If there's witnesses to his nus, he'd be lashed.
Absolutely. Did this ever happen? Is there any cases in the world where it actually happened?
I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, there's different issues here. If a husband, listen, the wife can warn the husband, if you go and fool around with Angelita again, I'm going to try to find witnesses and then you're going to get lashed. She can do that. She can go to the Beis Din and say, he's not a faithful husband and I want him to divorce me and I want my ksuva.
Yep.
She has recourses, but you don't behave immaturely because the husband has. That's the point. It's somebody, you know, somebody has to be the bigger person over here. And therefore the rabbis put in, a man just can't go and fool around either. You know, if people find out that he fooled around, Beis Din will deal with the guy. The Beis Din will call and say, listen, you got to stop doing this. You got to say, I didn't do it. He says, listen, well, we're going to start getting guys, we're going to send private eyes. We're going to keep an eye on you and we're going to see what's happening. And then, you know, and a man having being forced to divorce his wife and give her a ksuva is not a picnic either for him. So it's not like he goes scot-free over here. But, you know, it's the woman is the akeres habayis. The woman is the mainstay of the home and more is expected of her. And therefore, she has to go through this type of degradation. You know, it to me, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense.
What about the guy that's in Yichud with her? Does he get warned, Mr. Schwartz?
There's nothing to warn. There's nothing to warn. The wife, listen, a man will not go into a room with her if she doesn't let him. She just will stay away from that. If she was a proper wife, she says, I want nothing to do with that guy anymore. Finished. She wouldn't be a mile within that guy. Now we'll see later that if she is guilty and she drinks the water and she dies, this guy dies too.
That's right.
He will die too.
It's not over for him.
He gets busted also, yeah. Literally. Yeah. So it's not like that guy gains it all, and he may tell her, confess. I don't want to die.
That's right.
So nobody gains on this, but this is meant to be a significant deterrent that she should not do such kind of behavior. What else is done to publicly humiliate her? Vesoser Esara, and her unbraids her hair. In other words, after he uncovers her hair, and this is looked as a total disgrace of a woman, because all Jewish women covered her hair. So they uncover her hair, and her braids are uncovered. So she, you know, and to publicly look like that is a great humiliation. Yeah. Nowadays, women don't feel humiliated. They go knock at Gamson, and they don't feel humiliated. They feel, wow, let everybody see everything that's going on. But Jewish women usually would feel humiliated by that. You know, for Rabbi Yehuda, Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says other things. Imhoya libano, if she was very, had a really good figure on the top, then lohaya magala, we wouldn't reveal it because then other people would get a little bit too excited. The imhoya sara, now she had mamish, beautiful hair, lohaisa sosa, wouldn't unbraid it because it also wouldn't be the great thing. So look what it says. Although biblical law requires the kohen to expose the bosom and hair of the soldier, Yehuda was concerned that doing so, if she was attractive, would evoke lewd thoughts in the minds of those witnessing the procedure. They ruled that it not be performed in accordance with the principle that Sanhedrin is empowered to suspend the observance of biblical command as long as the violation takes place in a passive manner. Whereas the rabbis, that's it, we don't pull the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Why? Rabbinic. Biblically, you should, but b'shev altasa, just by not doing, you can avoid. So she was really beautiful. He didn't do it. Ha'isa miskasa b'levonim. Mishnah resumes and describes the ritual. Ishu was dressed in white, which was a more of attractive kind of thing. Mechasa b'shchorim. The kohen would dress her in black, and as to demoralize her again. Ha'yala kleizov. If she had ornaments of gold. Next page. Let's just finish this mission. Another few minutes. Vekatlitzos and chokers, the fancy chokers. We had that in the Rambam a couple of days ago. Nizamim, nose rings with tabas and rings. Mavir mimeno. Kidei l'chav. Taken away so she look repulsive. V'yacher kach mevi chevel mitzri. Then the coin brings a rope of palm fibers. It grows from the ground. It's like, what do you call it? Roots, things that grow. Takes these palm fibers. And what? And ties it above her bosom to make sure that if her dress shouldn't completely fall down completely and be totally uncovered. And whoever wants to watch this whole scene, Boleros can come and watch. It's open to the public. Except her slaves and maidservants. Why? Because if she's already is exposed and humiliated in front, it's greater humiliation for her to be seen in front of her servants and maidservants. And once that happens, her heart is emboldened by them being there. Why? He says, in stressful circumstance, a person becomes emboldened when she sees members of her household. Hence, if the Soto servants were allowed to attend the ceremony, she would be able to resist the court's effort to intimidate her and would refuse guilt. It's precisely the confession we're looking for. In other words, she's looking for, we're looking for a confession, but in front of her own people, she'll say, oh, I'm going to stick up for my guns. Finally, and all women are allowed to see her. Why is there no English? Now there seems to be a contradiction. First it says whoever wants to wish to see may do so, which implies even men, and then it says all women. So we'll see the Gemara will talk about that. Shenemaris, it says, V'nivasru kol anashim, all the women shall be chastised, v'lo sasena ki zimaschena, and shall not intimidate your lewdness. In other words, that degradation will detour women from doing those kinds of things. That's the Mishnah. Next week we'll do the Gemara that goes into all the details of this. Whoa.